Chapter 14.
Oh yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he handed her the letter. The solicitor stated that a widow lady of position, who did not at present wish her name to be disclosed, had lately become a client of his while taking the waters, and had mentioned to him that she would like a little girl to bring up as her own, if she could be certain of finding one of good and pleasing disposition. And, the better to ensure this, she would not wish the child to be too young for judging her qualities. He had remembered Sir Ashley's observation to him a long while ago, and therefore brought the matter before him. It would be an excellent home for the little girl of, that he was positive, if as he had not already found such a home. But it is absurd of the man to write so long after. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Lady Mottisfont, with a lumpiness about the back of her throat as she thought how much Dorothy had become to her. I suppose it was when you first found her that you told him this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exactly it was then. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he fell into thought, and neither Sir Ashley nor Lady Mottisfont took the trouble to answer the lawyer's letter, and so the matter ended for the time. One day at dinner, on their return from a short absence in town, whither they had gone to see what the world was doing, hear what it was saying, and to make themselves generally fashionable after rusticating for so long on this occasion, I say, they learnt from some friend who had joined them at dinner, that Fernal Hall, the manorial house of the estate next their own, which had been offered on lease by reason of the impecuniosity of its owner, had been taken for a term by a widow lady, an Italian contessa, whose name I will not mention for certain reasons which may by and by appear. Lady Mottisfont expressed her surprise and interest at the probability of having such a neighbor. Though, if I had been born in Italy, I think I should have liked to remain there, apostrophe, she said. She is not Italian, though her husband was, apostrophe, said Sir Ashley. Oh, you have heard about her before now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. They were talking of her at Gray's the other evening. She is English. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and then, as her husband said no more about the lady, the friend who was dining with them told Lady Mottisfont that the Countess's father had speculated largely in East India stock, in which immense fortunes were being made at that time. Through this his daughter had found herself enormously wealthy at his death, which had occurred only a few weeks after the death of her husband. It was supposed that the marriage of an enterprising English speculator's daughter to a poor foreign nobleman had been matter of arrangement merely. As soon as the Countess's widowhood was a little further advanced she would, no doubt, be the mark of all the schemers who came near her, for she was still quite young. But at present she seemed to desire quiet, and avoided society and town. Some weeks after this time Sir Ashley Mottisfont sat looking fixedly at his lady for many moments. He said, it might have been better for Dorothy if the Countess had taken her. She is so wealthy in comparison with ourselves, and could have ushered the girl into the great world more effectually than we ever shall be able to do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the Contessa take Dorothy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Lady Mottisfont with a start. What was she the lady who wished to adopt her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. She was staying at Bath, when Lawyer Gayton wrote to me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but how do you know all this, Ashley? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he showed a little hesitation. Oh, I've seen her, apostrophe, he says. You know, she drives to the meet sometimes, though she does not ride. And as he has informed me, that she was the lady who inquired of Gayton. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have talked to her as well as seen her, then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh yes, several times, everybody has. Apostrophe, apostrophe, why didn't you tell me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, says his lady. I had quite forgotten to call upon her. I'll go tomorrow, or soon. Dot dot but I can't think, Ashley, how you can say that it might have been better for Dorothy to have gone to her. She is so much our own now that I cannot admit any such conjectures as those, even in jest. apostrophe, her eyes reproached him so eloquently that Sir Ashley Mattisfan did not answer. Lady Mattisfan did not hunt any more than the Anglo-Italian countess did. Indeed, as he had become so absorbed in household matters and in Dorothy's well-being, that as he had no mind to waste a minute on mere enjoyments. As he had said, to talk coolly of what might have been the best destination in days past for a child to whom they had become so attached seemed quite barbarous, and she could not understand how her husband should consider the point so abstractedly. For, as will probably have been guessed, Lady Mattisfan, long before this time, if as he had not done so at the very beginning, divined Sir Ashley's true relation to Dorothy. But the baronet's wife was so discreetly meek and mild that she never told him of her surmise, and took what heaven had sent her without cavil, her generosity in this respect having been bountifully rewarded by the new life she found in her love for the little girl. Her husband recurred to the same uncomfortable subject when, a few days later, they were speaking of traveling abroad. He said that it was almost a pity, if they thought of going, that they had not fallen in with the Countess's wish. That lady had told him that she had met Dorothy walking with her nurse, and that as he had never seen a child she liked so well. What she covets her still. How impertinent of the woman! Apostrophe said Lady Mattisfan. She seems to do so. You see, dearest Philippa, the advantage to Dorothy would have been that the Countess would have adopted her legally, and have made her as her own daughter. While we have not done that, we are only bringing up and educating a poor child in charity. But I'll adopt her fully, make her mine legally. Cried his wife in an anxious voice. How is it to be done? He did not inform her, but fell into thought, and, for reasons of her own, his lady was restless and uneasy. The very next day Lady Mattisfan drove to Fernal Hall, to pay the neglected call upon her neighbor. The Countess was at home, and received her graciously. But poor Lady Mattisfan's heart died within her, as soon as she set eyes on her new acquaintance. Such wonderful beauty, of the fully developed kind, had never confronted her before inside the lines of a human face. She seemed to shine with every light and grace that woman can possess. Her finished continental manners, her expanded mind, her ready wit, composed a study that made the other poor lady sick, for she, and latterly Sir Ashley himself, were rather rural in manners, and she felt abashed by new sounds and ideas from without. She hardly knew three words in any language but her own, while this divine creature, though truly English, had, apparently, whatever she wanted in the Italian and French tongues to suit every impression, which was considered a great improvement to speech in those days, and, indeed, is by many considered as such in these. How very strange it was about the little girl. The Contessa said to Lady Mattisfan, in her gay tones. I mean, that the child the lawyer recommended should, just before then, have been adopted by you, who are now my neighbor. How is she getting on? I must come and see her. Do you still want her? Asks Lady Mattisfan suspiciously. Oh, I should like to have her. But you can't. She's mine. Said the other greedily. A drooping mariner appeared in the Countess from that moment. Lady Mattisfan, too, was in a wretched mood all the way home that day. The Countess was so charming in every way, that as he had charmed her gentle ladyship, how should it be possible that as he had failed to charm Sir Ashley? Moreover, as he had awakened a strange thought in Philippa's mind. As soon as she reached home she rushed to the nursery, and there, seizing Dorothy, frantically kissed her. Then, holding her at arm's length, she gazed with a piercing inquisitiveness into the girl's lineaments. She sighed deeply, abandoned the wondering Dorothy, and hastened away. As he had seen there, not only her husband's traits, which as he had often beheld before, but others, of the shade, shape, and expression which characterized those of her new neighbor. Then this poor lady perceived the whole perturbing sequence of things, and asked herself how she could have been such a walking piece of simplicity as not to have thought of this before. But she did not stay long upbraiding herself for her short-sightedness, so overwhelmed was she with misery at the spectacle of herself as an intruder between these. To be sure, she could not have foreseen such a conjuncture, but that did not lessen her grief. The woman who had been both her husband's bliss and his backsliding had reappeared free when he was no longer so, and she evidently was dying to claim her own in the person of Dorothy, who had meanwhile grown to be, to Lady Mottisfont, almost the only source of each day's happiness, supplying her with something to watch over, inspiring her with a sense of maternity, and so largely reflecting her husband's nature as almost to deceive her into the pleasant belief that she reflected her own also. If there was a single direction in which this devoted and virtuous lady erred, it was in the direction of over-submissiveness. When all is said and done, and the truth told, men seldom show much self-sacrifice in their conduct as lords and masters to helpless women bound to them for life, and perhaps, though I say it with all uncertainty, if as he had blazed up in his face like a furze faggot, directly he came home, she might have helped herself a little. But God knows whether this is a true supposition. At any rate, she did no such thing, and waited and prayed that she might never do despite to him who, she was bound to admit, had always been tender and courteous towards her, and hoped that little Dorothy might never be taken away. By degrees the two households became friendly, and very seldom did a week pass without their seeing something of each other. Try as she might, and dangerous as she assumed the acquaintanceship to be, Lady Mottisfont could detect no fault or flaw in her new friend. It was obvious that Dorothy had been the magnet which had drawn the Contessa hither, and not Sir Ashley. Such beauty, united with such understanding and brightness, Philippa had never before known in one of her own sex, and she tried to think, whether she succeeded I do not know, that she did not mind the propinquity, since a woman so rich, so fair, and with such a command of suitors, could not desire to wreck the happiness of so inoffensive a person as herself. The season drew on when it was the custom for families of distinction to go off to the bath, and Sir Ashley Mottisfont persuaded his wife to accompany him thither with Dorothy. Everybody of any note was there this year. From their own part of England came many that they knew, among the rest, Lord and Lady Purbeck, the Earl and Countess of Wessex, Sir John Grebe, the Drenkards, Lady Stervale, the old Duke of Hamptonshire, the Bishop of Melchester, the Dean of Exonbury, and other lesser lights of court, pulpit, and field. Thither also came the fair Contessa, whom, as soon as Philippa saw how much she was sought after by younger men, she could not conscientiously suspect of renewed designs upon Sir Ashley. But the Countess had finer opportunities than ever with Dorothy, for Lady Mottisfont was often indisposed, and even at other times could not honestly hinder an intercourse which gave bright ideas to the child. Dorothy welcomed her new acquaintance with a strange and instinctive readiness that intimated the wonderful subtlety of the threads which bind flesh and flesh together. At last the crisis came. It was precipitated by an accident. Dorothy and her nurse had gone out one day for an airing, leaving Lady Mottisfont alone indoors. While she sat gloomily thinking that in all likelihood the Countess would contrive to meet the child somewhere and exchange a few tender words with her, Sir Ashley Mottisfont rushed in and informed her that Dorothy had just had the narrowest possible escape from death. Some workmen were undermining a house to pull it down for rebuilding, when, without warning, the front wall inclined slowly outwards for its fall, the nurse and child passing beneath it at the same moment. The fall was temporarily arrested by the scaffolding, while in the meantime the Countess had witnessed their imminent danger from the other side of the street. Springing across, she snatched Dorothy from under the wall, and pulled the nurse after her, the middle of the way being barely reached, before they were enveloped in the dense dust of the descending mass, though not a stone touched them. Where is Dorothy? Apostrophe apostrophe says the excited Lady Matisfund. As he has her, she won't let her go for a time apostrophe, has her? But she's mine, apostrophe cries Lady Matisfund. Then her quick and tender eyes perceived that her husband had almost forgotten her interests of existence in contemplating the oneness of Dorothy's, the Countess's, and his own. He was in a dream of exaltation which recognized nothing necessary to his well-being outside that welded circle of three lives. Dorothy was at length brought home. She was much fascinated by the Countess, and saw nothing tragic, but rather all that was truly delightful, in what had happened. In the evening, when the excitement was over, and Dorothy was put to bed, Sir Ashley said, "As he has saved Dorothy, and I have been asking myself what I can do for her as a slight acknowledgement of her heroism. Surely we ought to let her have Dorothy to bring up, since she still desires to do it? It would be so much to Dorothy's advantage. We ought to look at it in that light, and not selfishly." Apostrophe apostrophe, Philippa seized his hand. "Ashley, Ashley, you don't mean it, that I must lose my pretty darling, the only one I have?" Apostrophe apostrophe, she met his gaze with her piteous mouth, and wet eyes so painfully strained, that he turned away his face. The next morning, before Dorothy was awake, Lady Matisfund stole to the girl's bedside, and sat regarding her. When Dorothy opened her eyes, she fixed them for a long time upon Philippa's features. "Mama, you are not so pretty as the Contessa, are you?" Apostrophe apostrophe, she said at length. "I am not, Dorothy." Apostrophe apostrophe, "Why are you not, Mama?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "Dorothy, where would you rather live, always, with me, or with her?" Apostrophe apostrophe, the little girl looked troubled. "I am sorry, Mama, I don't mean to be unkind, but I would rather live with her, I mean, if I might without trouble, and you did not mind, and it could be just the same to us all, you know." Apostrophe apostrophe, "Has she ever asked you the same question?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "Never, Mama." Apostrophe apostrophe, there lay the sting of it. The Countess seemed the soul of honor and fairness in this matter, test her as she might. That afternoon Lady Matisfund went to her husband with singular firmness upon her. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.